Hundreds of farmers across Europe have driven their tractors to their country's capitals. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. From Paris to Dublin and Berlin, farmers this week are driving tractors into big cities. They're protesting government policies they say threaten their livelihoods. One of them is Victor Rabir from France.
This is a shout out from everyone, the whole profession, from cereal farmers to livestock farmers, which today feels like it's been forgotten by the government and by Europe too. We need to try to put a stop to agri-bashing. The government has to help us make the consumer understand that our agriculture is safe for everyone to eat.
What exactly is agribashing, and why is it becoming a growing trend? Joao Pacheco, a senior fellow at the Farm Europe think tank, explains.
Farmers, they are seen as the polluters, those that cause health problems because they have food that is not healthy, and people that mistreat animals. So there is a disconnect of perceptions between the farming sector and urban population.
So Europe has a new incoming agriculture chief. What can he do to deal with some of these concerns?
He should explain to the population what is produced by farmers in Europe is safe. All science comes to that direction. That's an important point. He should engage with farmers on how they could even do better in terms of using pesticides or fertilizers. With new technologies, farmers can do much better. And in doing that, they can do also a better job to protect the environment. But that needs investment, that needs a plan, that needs a new common agriculture policy, in my view.
What does that look like?
And the main challenges for farmers is that they have to do more to protect the environment, and at the same time, they have to improve their economic well-being. And the way to do that is through new technologies, new practices. The common agriculture policy has to have an investment package to help them achieving that.
Joao Pacheco, senior fellow at the Farm Europe think tank. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's do the numbers. Investors are putting the brakes on a four-day rally after President Trump signed a bill into law backing Hong Kong protesters. The Pan-European Stock 600 index is down 0.2% as safe haven gold is rising by about the same margin. With over $7 million in sales each month last year, South Korea was Japan's biggest beer export market. But last month, it went to zero. The BBC's Stephen Ryan explains why consumers have taken the fizz out of Japanese beer sales.
Demand for Japanese beer went very flat as a trade spat with its Korean neighbor deepened. But it isn't just beer. People in Seoul have also turned their backs on instant noodles and sake liquor. Data for October shows Japanese food exports to South Korea were down almost 60%. Beyond food, Japanese car sales are down and demand for equipment used by electronics giants like Samsung slid 49% last month. That's because last year the two countries had a row over compensation for wartime labour undertaken by Koreans. Japan says that dispute was resolved in 1965. It responded by tightening controls over materials that are vital to South Korea's chipmakers. And that's when shoppers in Seoul started boycotting Japanese goods in a big way. But there are some signs of a thaw. Last week, South Korea agreed it would continue sharing military intelligence, which was also under threat. Both countries have now agreed to meet in China next month to try and resolve their differences. I'm the BBC's Stephen Ryan for Marketplace.
Cooks across America will be heading to the kitchen soon to prep the Thanksgiving feast. And the same in Britain. Yep, that's right. One London butcher has been busy taking orders this week for all the classics, right down to the pumpkin pie and cranberry sauce.
My name is Danny Lydgate. I'm the managing director of Lydgate's Butchers. We've always been quite close to the US embassy, so we've always had quite a lot of US customers. About 30 years now we've been doing American Thanksgiving. We make our own pumpkin pies. We use really good free-range bronze turkeys. We do a range of stuffings and sausages, apple cakes, pecan pies.
You're making my mouth water, Danny. You said you're close to the embassy, but what made you start to offer it in the beginning?
It was really a request from a customer, and then we really started seeing a lot of American customers in Kensington, and it seemed like an obvious thing for us to do.
So how much do you sell every Thanksgiving?
A fair few hundred turkeys, which is quite good for an English butcher. Probably in the hundreds of pumpkin pies as well. They're pretty famous.
The Thanksgiving dinner that we Americans are very used to is a lot like the Christmas dinner that many British people enjoy. So when you're talking about the supply chain and thinking about turkeys that you're going to need for the end of the year, does offering Thanksgiving turkeys take away at all from your Christmas business, or have you figured out a way to balance it out?
No. What we actually find is Americans who have been in London for a long time tend to celebrate Thanksgiving, but they also celebrate Christmas. So I think actually it's part of the festive season.
Do you notice that British people are now catching on to the Thanksgiving tradition?
I think they are. I think it's another thing to celebrate, and I think it's a good thing. Lots more London pubs now are offering different meals for Thanksgiving. Pumpkin pie has definitely become more welcomed in London especially.
So what is the most popular thing you sell around Thanksgiving?
Funnily enough, we do a pecan pie, which is really, really popular.
It looks really good. I can see it over here in the case.
Glazed. It looks amazing, and it's so popular. And we generally sell out of those.
It might rival my mom's chocolate pecan pie, but don't tell her. Danny Lydgate, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Well, speaking of pies, passengers on 5 U.S. originating flights to the U.K. got a Thanksgiving surprise at Heathrow Airport. Whole Foods dished out slices of pumpkin pie at baggage claim, each one complete with a dollop of whipped cream. While I love a good pumpkin pie, my favorite really is still my mom's chocolate pecan. What's your favorite part of the feast? Let us know. I'm at Victoria Craig on all forms of social media. And don't forget to include the hashtag BBC Marketplace. From all of us here in London, happy Thanksgiving. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.